our grandkids will be taking Ryanair flights
around the moon.
You gotta pay extra for oxygen on a Ryanair flight.
Hello, guys. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to Comes With Baggage, your favorite Real Talk travel podcast. I'm Kate.
And this is Chris.
And how are you?
I'm good. I am reporting live from Tbilisi, Georgia, where I am now living.
Yeah, that's exciting.
That's a thing that happened in the 2 week break we took. I just up and moved to a country that most people assume is a state of the United States. So,
like, I did watch the beginning of your wife's Instagram tour house hunters thing.
Oh, she like,
and she was like, something about welcome to, you know, Tbilisi, Georgia, and she's like, the country, not the state.
Like, literally everyone assumes we're moving to the state, and they're like, oh god, why? And then I'm like, no, the country. And they're like, oh god, why? And I'm like, no, the country's much nicer than the state. Yeah, I mean, we spoke with Tomo and Megzi on our food episode a few months back now, and they are still living here, and they did such a rave review of the place and the food and how friendly and affordable it is, that when we had 6 months to kill between our Australian wedding and our American wedding, we're like, well, we've got to stay in the Northern Hemisphere. Why not do this? So we spent most of this week house hunting, found an apartment, which I'm moving into in a couple of hours' time. So that's been an exciting week.
Nice.
Yeah, and I even snuck in a cheeky 3-day trip to Milan in there as well. So very busy 7 days for me.
Yeah, how was Milan?
It was, you know, it was better than I thought. A lot of people were like, oh, why are you going to Milan? Like, it's like not a place that people spend a lot of time in.
Yeah.
But we did like a day walking around, and there's some beautiful architecture in the city, but it is generally kind of an ugly city. Like, it's very urban and industrial in parts, but then you'll just suddenly appear outside like the third largest cathedral in the world. So that was really cool. And then we did a day trip up to Lake Como and Bellagio, which is gorgeous. It was really dead because it's like low season, so nothing was open, which was a pain when we were trying to find lunch, but it's absolutely beautiful up there. Like, you know, you've got you're very close to the border with Switzerland, just this gorgeous lake, snow-capped mountains, really cute little laneways. It was nice. Definitely want to go back, maybe not in peak season, but when there's at least, you know, gelato and restaurants and bars open. But it was a pretty fun like layover before we got here to freezing cold Tbilisi.
Yeah.
But you've been busy too, right? You also were traveling this last week.
I was, yeah. I went and did a road trip around Scotland with a friend of mine, Lena. It was beautiful. And we honestly got really lucky with the weather. It was a bit hairy. So I will tell this. So on the way up there, we took a train from London to Edinburgh.
Oh, I saw this on your stories.
Yes. And so we got to pretty much the border of England and Scotland, and they just basically stopped the train at a station, and they're like, there's too much flooding on the tracks. This train has now been canceled. If you want, you can go to the train that's waiting at the other platform, and that one will take you to Glasgow.
That's kind of a trade down from Edinburgh. Sorry, Scottish listeners.
But we're just like looking at each other like, well, what the fuck are we going to do? Like, we've already paid like sorted accommodation in Edinburgh.
Oh, no.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we can't just change our trip to go maybe the other direction. Like, we're picking up the rental car that night in Edinburgh.
Oh, no.
And so I call. So we go to Glasgow and we're like, we'll just figure out how to get between. And so we get to Glasgow. All of these people, obviously, the whole train was like full of people that didn't want to be there. So then we're all, and luckily they're like, you know, your tickets will be honored on any trains going to Edinburgh from Glasgow.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah, that was nice. And so we got to the train station in Glasgow and get on a train from there. And it goes about a half an hour and says there's more flooding on the tracks and the tracks are damaged and we have to go back to Glasgow.
Oh, no. So did you? Keep going.
Well, and so it also like then sat at that train, like at the station it stopped at in the middle of nowhere. It wasn't even a station. It was just like a stop, basically.
Yeah.
And for like 20 minutes and there's people getting off and we're like looking up Uber from wherever the hell we were in the middle of nowhere.
Oh God.
And or like buses or like anything. There was no way to get from where we were. So we had to take the train back to Glasgow. And they're like, you know, there's no trains going from this train station, but if you want to go to the other train station, that's a 10-minute walk away. As of now, the trains are still going to Edinburgh from there. And we're like, oh, as of now, like, this is our third fucking train trying to get to Edinburgh. And there was another girl that we had met and on the train, and she was like, I really need to get home. She was going to university in Edinburgh.
Oh.
And they were starting classes the next day. And she's like, I really need to get back. She's like, would you girls be down to like share an Uber and just split the cost? And we're like, yes. Oh,
nice.
So this lovely man, I can't remember his name, drove us an hour from Glasgow to Edinburgh.
Was that an expensive Uber, I imagine?
It was only 30 quid each, so it was 90 quid.
That's not bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all. And then we tipped him like quite generously.
It kind of reminds me, it's like the Truman Show. Like maybe Edinburgh doesn't exist and you're just like, they just keep finding excuses why you can't go there. But I've been, so I know it's real. And now you've been, so.
Yeah, and it was beautiful.
It's such a lovely city.
I got to go out with one of my friends that I haven't seen in years, Tom. I met him in Croatia working the pub crawl. He took me out the first night and we got pints at this cute little pub. And then he took me to this other bar that had live music. And then there's this old man getting up singing Gaelic songs. You don't say nice. Gaelic. So Gaelic is Irish and you say Gaelic, I think, for Scott.
Oh, okay.
Any Scottish listeners, let me know. But yeah, and then we drove pretty much the whole country. So we drove up to Inverness. Through the mountains, through the snow, which was beautiful. We saw some Highland coos, which are the hairy, shaggy cows that I'm obsessed with now.
Jeez, because I'm like, the only time I've heard the word coos before is it's like slang for something very different.
What is it slang for?
It's a slang for a woman's private parts. So I was like, oh, you saw some naked Scottish lasses?
Some Highland coos. No, they're cows. They're the shaggy orange ones that are so nice. Adorable. And then, yeah, Inverness was a bit of a hole. Sorry, Inverness. didn't really enjoy it there. And then we went and did a boat tour on the Loch Ness. We saw a bunch of castles.
You didn't say Nessie.
We didn't see Nessie.
That's weird. I didn't see her either. It's almost like she doesn't exist.
And one of the things on the boat was like, we encourage drinking because the more you drink, the more chances you are of seeing her. Then, yeah, we stayed in Oban, which is on the west coast of Scotland, which was my favorite place. It's like this little fishing town. Apparently, it's the best seafood in Scotland.
Oh.
It was adorable. Their distillery was built right in the center of the town. So it's quite a small distillery. We did a tour there. We've got like I had a trough of seafood chowder from this restaurant we went to. It was amazing. I wish we would have had more time there. I really enjoyed it there. I'm always more a fan of like the small town
places. Yeah, like the ones that aren't really on the beaten path.
Yeah. And then from there, we went to Glasgow, spent a night in Glasgow. We just kind of chilled and I walked around the next day, saw some things. And then back to Edinburgh. But then because we got to Edinburgh so late on the first day, it was kind of disappointing because we wanted to see all the sights. Mm. But we had to leave to get on the road the next day. So we got back on the last day. We got back to Edinburgh around noon and we didn't have to take a train until 6 p.m. So we had to spend the last day walking around looking at things and seeing the sights. So that was beautiful. And it was sunny. It was really cold and windy, but it was sunny. So made for some nice photos. But yeah,
I bet.
I just need to go back in the summer when it's
nice. Yeah. Well, like, look at us, like two like travel podcasters actually doing some travel.
I know.
Before I forget, I gotta say how amazing the food was in Milan as well. Expensive, but we had some amazing meals there.
I'm sure. Like, I'm dying to just, like, all I want to do is go to Italy and just eat Italian food.
Yeah, like, I always knew Italian food was good, and I always knew that when I went there, it would probably be the highlight, but I didn't realize just how good it would be. Like,
wow.
Everything we had was good, like, whether it was cheap, not like roadside pizza, but like cheap local pizza joints, or we went to a fancy place that does, like, food specific to, I can't remember the name of the region, but it's like the mountains between Switzerland and Italy, that region. So it had some really interesting stuff done with venison. I had this amazing, like, it's like a chocolate pasta with a deer ragu. And oh my God, it sounds awful. Because it's like chocolate and deer. Wow. But oh my God, it was like the best meal I've ever had in my life. So if you're ever in Milan, go to a restaurant called Delicatessen, which is a terrible name for a restaurant.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. Everything we had there was just great. I mean, we dropped like 90 euros on our meal and all our wine, but holy shit, like one of the best meals I've ever had.
I'm super jealous about that. it reminds me of the, because like mole is chocolate and meat, like meal, and I love mole, so I can imagine that the chocolate pasta with the ragu.
It's not very sweet. Like it's mostly just, it's like, it's brown. It's basically the only thing that, if you didn't know it had chocolate in it, you would have just assumed it was made with like a whole grain. But it did have
not Swiss, squid ink sort of pasta. I mean, that's dark.
Yeah, a little bit like that, yeah. I mean, you could tell it had cacao in it. Like, it had that sort of, that bite to it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't overpowering. Like, the venison was definitely the dominant taste. But, oh, so good. I can't wait to get back there and eat all the things again. The actual city, I think I've seen all I wanted to see there, but I could definitely eat my way through it, so.
Yeah, I'm dying to go back. Maybe I'll go there. So, I, in visa news.
Oh.
So it's been postponed just a month. So instead of getting it by March, I'm getting it by April.
Oh, so you're still getting it. That's good.
Yes. But because my tourist visa is up February 28th, that means I have to leave the UK because I can't risk overstaying on my tourist visa if I'm trying to apply for a work visa.
Of course.
So
we have a couch in Tbilisi.
Well, so it kind of depends on my boss. Like, I would love to just go to Europe and, like, pick somewhere in Europe. I have my best friend Tristan, who we all know lives in Croatia. He just moved into a new two-bedroom place, like, 10 minutes out of the city center of Split. And so he's like, I've got an extra room here. You can stay for free, which would... And I've never been to Croatia in March. I can't imagine what the weather's like. But it won't be tourist season, so it'll be calm.
Nice.
But I still have to work Monday through Friday.
So you might have to do like a quick jaunt across to like Paris or something instead.
Well, Paris is too expensive.
Right.
But you know me, I really want to learn French. And so I'm like, what if I go somewhere like Lille or Toulouse or like one of the smaller cities and rent a place for a month and like try to learn French in the process because I won't know anyone there.
Why not? Yeah, that sounds like a good way to go about it.
But they might be trying to open up our New York office at that point. So I'm also worried that my boss is going to be like, well, no, we'll just send you to New York since we're trying to open an office there. And then you can... New York in March is literally the worst time to go.
Plus, yeah, it's like... you've lived there before, so it's got all the like, oh, okay, I've been here before, without all the fun of like, my whole family is here.
Yeah, so I mean, because exciting, I lived there, I have friends there already. But like Lena, who I just did this trip with around Scotland, she lives there. My friend Katrine is still there. You know, I've got a few friends there still. But I just don't. I mean, I wasn't a New Yorker. I'm not a New Yorker. I can't do it. I don't like it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I love to visit there. I love to visit there in the summer when it's nice weather and there's lots of rooftop, you know, bars and pop up cinemas in the park and like events and food festivals and all that stuff. But March is literally the worst month to be there. It is cold and rainy and snowy. And so I'm hoping if everyone out there can cross their fingers for me, I don't have to go to New York. And I get to go somewhere in France.
All of our comes with baggages just have to keep their fingers crossed.
Yes.
I almost called them cumbaggers and then realized what a horrible name for our fans that would be.
Please don't call them that.
It's going to happen.
I apologize, guys.
Hashtag cumbaggers. Do it.
No.
Okay. Well, hopefully then you don't have to go to... I mean, any world travel is always good, even if it's a place you've been. I assume if it was for work, they would probably pay for it, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, they're paying for my visa, so I'm not sure how much they're going to pay for me to have to leave. But I would sublease my room in London, so I wouldn't have to be paying two rents. So I'm hopefully... If I go somewhere else, I can find something that's equivalent rent-wise.
That'd be handy.
But we'll see. But anyways, let's get to the episode.
Yes, I was trying to think of a fun way to segue, but let's just ham-fist.
Well, no, so I was going to segue, and now you've just made it awkward.
Now I've made it awkward. go ahead. Do your segue. I'll pretend to be surprised.
Well, no, I mean, the reason that I was going to bring this up is just because I came back from my trip and my flatmate, Nick, he works for a travel company called Top Deck. any listeners might know about it. It's like a travel tour company, and you could book. It's Australian owned, but he works for the office here in London, and you can book, trips anywhere in the world. Pretty much, they've got USA ones, they've got Canadian ones, they've got European ones, like all different times, like lengths of stay. So it's 7 days, 30 days. It's usually on a bus and accommodation, all that stuff. Anyways, so he got an internship. So he works his normal job for Top Deck, but he also got this internship that's super hard to get. And it's learning how they actually build their tours.
Oh, cool.
And so when I got back from Scotland, I was catching up with him and we went for beers and I was asking him how his internship was going. And he said he had the most interesting day at work that he's had in a really long time. And it was because they were going over the trends for 2020. And he's like, it was so interesting to hear about all of these things that they predict people are going to be doing this year. And obviously for them, how they can take that into building their new packages. So we were discussing this article that they went over in his internship about all of the different, I think there's like 15 of them.
So it's the exact same article that we've been reading in the lead up to this week's show. Okay. So it's with, is it Condé Nast? Is that the name of the...
Yeah, so it's a Condé Nast traveler article, and it's about their travel trends to know about in 2020, and it's incredibly interesting. So I obviously sent it to you and said, we should talk about this.
And here's me acting surprised. Oh, wow, I'm so glad I read it now. Definitely some interesting ones. There's some I'm like, that seems a stretch. And then there's some that like I can totally see that happening this year. And I guess we're going to go over that and find out which ones are which.
Yeah. So the first one that is on the list is, which I was really shocked by this one, is, well, kind of.
Because we like, it's on the cards, but there's been talk of it for nearly, probably more than a decade now.
So space tourism. Basically apparently Virgin has a sector of their company called Virgin Galactic,
which I love. It just sounds like name. It's so sci-fi.
Trekkie fans unite.
And I love it because it takes off from a place called Spaceport America, which is also so sci-fi.
Yeah. Is Spaceport America like the name of the building or...
I believe
it's not like a town, right?
No. Okay. There's no comma. So it's definitely the name of the actual building.
Surprisingly, because it's like Virgin Galactic and their departure lounge at Spaceport America, why is the actual thing just called VSS Unity?
Sounds pretty... I mean, it sounds like, it still sounds kind of spacey, though. VSS Unity.
Unity? I don't know.
Yeah, if anyone's a Rick and Morty fan, there's a whole character called Unity.
Which is very sci-fi.
I don't know if it's named after that, but I mean, it's like the Enterprise or stuff like that. I like it. It's got the right ring to it. And obviously SpaceX has been talking about doing this. You've got, Amazon's trying to get into space thing. Like they don't control enough of the world already.
Yeah.
Let's give them control of space. Soon you'll have next day delivery on the moon, which will be cool. still not in Australia because fuck Australia, but the moon is going to have next day delivery.
I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's 90-minute suborbital trips. That's the one for Virgin. I don't know what the SpaceX one.
SpaceX is talking about eventually having a space hotel by 2025. But that's very pie in the sky. I mean, the idea that it could one day happen is amazing. And the fact that the private sector is interested in it is really good for the development of space, like travel and research in general, because obviously places like groups like NASA don't get the funding they once did now that the space race has died down and there's no like dick measuring to be had, against Russia. So the private sector investing heavily in it is actually really good because that's where the money is. And what any sort of like SpaceX, for example, has developed a way to reuse the takeoff engines, which usually they just had to discard.
Yeah.
That's such a huge thing because it means like that cost can be condensed, which means being able to take off more often, which will only mean, greater research opportunities, further developments in the technology. I'm kind of a nerd for this, so I'm like really excited about it. But like growing up as like a sci-fi nerd, like I know where I'm never going to get to go is like stay in a hotel on Alpha Centauri and play with three boobed women. But the idea
but a boy
that, you
can
know,
dream.
Yeah, and the idea that one day, you know, I might get to see Earth from maybe not completely out in space, but at least from, you know, low orbit would be amazing.
The fact that this is already, they think this is definitely going to even start happening in 2020 means that there's a very, very good chance if we live into our, you know, middle age years or somewhat old age that it will become so commercial to like, and affordable, because the more that people are able to do it,
yeah,
it brings the price down.
Our grandkids will be taking Ryanair flights
around the moon.
You gotta pay extra for oxygen on a Ryanair flight.
I love though that like is it from SpaceX company? No, Von. What does I don't know. They're gonna be building this Von Braun rotating space station.
Oh,
and it says it's gonna look like a giant Ferris wheel, and will have bars, restaurants, and private residencies for sale.
That's insane. Is that also... No, yes. So SpaceX is Elon Musk, so that makes sense. He likes to dream big, that man. I think it's cool. Like, I love the idea that maybe not in my, you know, young enough to enjoy it, but maybe in my twilight years I can, you know, have a 70th wedding anniversary trip to, you know, to the Von Braun rotating space station.
Pack
would
your
you
bags,
go?
Rochelle.
Like, would you be keen to do it? Like, I mean,
if someone offered it for me for free, hell yeah, I would go. Are you kidding me?
I'd do most things for free, travel related, not other stuff. So stop sending me PMs, people.
Even if it became more commercialized, where like it was like buying a trip to New York or something, you know, if it's like $600 round trip, I probably would still do it. It'd be so cool to experience that in your
life.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
You only live once.
I reckon it'll be more priced along the lines of like those Antarctic trips where it's like the minimum expenditure is like $8,000. I can't imagine it ever being that affordable that it's like... I mean,
well, I mean, never say never. This might just be, you know, a couple hundreds of years from now.
Well, yeah. I mean, the sooner we can make space travel feasible, the sooner we can... find another planet to start fucking up, and that will slow down the fucking up of this one. So that'd be nice.
Yeah, I would definitely do it. I think that'd be so cool. So
following on from that with something very down to earth. So the next thing they think is going to be a trend this year is nakations.
Love that word.
I love it and hate it. So it's like nude vacationing, nude restaurants, nude resorts, hiking nude, canoeing nude. Also, basically just getting your stuff out and having a good time while traveling.
Getting your kid off.
Yeah. Just, you know, tits out for the boys, whipping it out. It's all happening. I didn't even realize there's a nude restaurant that's trying to reopen in London. So you can go road test that for us and tell us all about it when it does.
I mean, I get it. Like... And I like the way that, like, body positivity has slowly been moving in a, like, you know, embrace yourself. And I think that, like, you know, with the whole free the nipple thing, because men can show their nipples on Instagram, but women can't. Like, I think if things are more, I mean, I don't, nude bodies don't offend me or freak me out, like.
I have zero interest in being nude, but I don't mind other people wanting to be nude. I'm just like, I don't even like to be naked around my, like, if I...
Were you going to say your wife?
In, like, certain situations, I'm totally down with it. But, like, I don't like to strut around the house naked. It just makes me feel uncomfortable. Even if it's just my wife there, I'm just like, I'd rather just have some clothes on.
So it's just recording the podcast you prefer to do naked.
Yeah. So, like, right now I'm naked, but my wife's in the other room, so it's fine. I mean, and maybe that's why nakations need to happen, because... people like myself do feel uncomfortable with their naked bodies. And so maybe if I went on a nude vacation, I'd be just like, all right, here it is.
Yeah.
But for me right now, the idea of having to spend like hiking naked, I get cuts and bruises hiking fully clothed.
I don't really enjoy the idea of hiking naked.
It sounds very liberating, but you'll get leeches like on your perineum, which sounds awful.
Well, it depends on where you hike. I don't think leeches are just roaming around everywhere. But yeah, so I like the idea of swimming naked, like a skinny dipping. I love a good skinny dip.
Yeah, good skinny dip. Nothing wrong with that.
Naked yoga. I don't think I need to see people bending over naked.
Oh, God, no. That there's a whole Seinfeld episode about, like, he dates a nudist and he watches her open a jar of pickles. And it's just the least flattering thing. There's certain things. Like, downward dog, Congress of the Cows, or Congress of the Cows is Kama Sutra. I'm getting the two confused. No, I don't really know if I want to see people stretching that way naked. It seems very intimate.
Yeah, I mean, cruises, though, naked cruises. I have a friend who like, there's a lot of people that are, what is it, like, naturalists? What do you call
A nudist. Yeah, naturalist. Yeah, well, naturalist. I guess a naturalist is also someone who studies nature, but I know some people who call themselves naturalists who are nudists.
Yeah.
I knew a girl who worked on a nude cruise, like, as a staff member.
Did they have to be nude?
I think they did.
Really?
I'll talk to her. Maybe we can get her on and have a chat about it. That would be so interesting. Yeah. I think that's going to be an episode in the future. So stay tuned for nude cruising. A future episode.
Cruising.
I sound like I'm having a stroke.
Nacations. So you wouldn't do one?
I don't think I would. I mean, again, if they were like, hey, do you want a free week stay at this resort? All you got to do is get your kid off. I'd consider it.
Well, the thing is, I think it's only awkward, like, the first day. I feel like you'd eventually get used to it, and especially if everyone else around you is naked.
Yeah.
And it just get to this point where, like, you're not even registering or caring or anything anymore. Like, it's always awkward getting naked for the first time in a situation.
Yes, yeah. And
but,
I think...
But if you just stay naked...
I think it'd be a good motivation.
Weird. Like, it just wouldn't be weird anymore.
It would just be the new normal. Yeah. I feel like if I was going on a vacation, it would be really good motivation to hit the gym. Like, I wouldn't need to be, like, peak physical condition, but it would be a good excuse to, like, lose some of that extra weight. Because if, like, you know, if I'm going to have everyone seeing me and my all together, I'd like them to see something that isn't what I'm offering
now. Have you been to nude beaches before?
No, I've not been to a nude beach.
There are very many people that are not in shape that are...
Yeah, but nude. I don't want to be one of them. When I see them, I'm not like, I want to be like that guy. It's usually like, oh, I need to go to the gym.
I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but so when I lived in Noosa in Australia, in Queensland, mm-hmm. I was walking through the national park from Sunshine Beach, where the hostel was that I worked at, to Noosa Main Beach. And you can walk through this huge national park. It's beautiful. But one stretch of it, you have to walk along this beach, and you can only get there by going through the national park. I didn't realize it was a nude beach.
Oh, no.
And I'm walking on the beach, and I've got my headphones in. I didn't realize someone was coming past me. And there was a man jogging on the beach, jogs right past me, completely naked, except he's wearing a hat, sunglasses, and running shoes.
Well, see, I'm glad that he's being sun smart.
For just his head.
Just his head. Everything else
is naked.
Everything else is going to be beetroot red by the end of the day. But
oh, that would be painful.
Oh, God. I'm sure he lathered up. If he's an Australian jogging in the sun on the beach, he's going to have, like, SPF 50 smeared everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, that stuff is painful when you get it in your eye. I can't imagine when you get it in other places.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean... It wasn't the best sight. Seeing someone jogging naked is not nice.
Oh, just either. It's slapping around like an elephant with a cold.
But I mean, I'd be down if everyone else is naked. Like you said, if someone was offering me a free trip on a cruise, naked cruise, I could do it.
I
think it would actually make you feel more comfortable about your body by the end of it.
It definitely would. I'm a baby steps guy. I was the teenager who would swim with like a swim shirt on because I didn't like how I looked. So I've progressed now to shirtless is okay. So one day maybe pantless will be okay as well.
Yeah, and I understand why people do that. But I also feel like you're almost inviting...
Oh, it's worse.
...criticism. It makes it so much worse. It's showing that you are insecure about it.
And it clings. Like, it literally hides nothing. It adheres to every contour of your
physique.
Like, physique. And then everyone's like, so he looks fat and he's wearing a stupid shirt in the ocean. Whereas if I was shirtless, they'd be like, oh, that guy, he's in the water.
Yeah.
No one notices a chubby guy in the water.
No. And if you just embrace it, like, they just, it takes away the power of the other people.
Yeah. Confidence. Everyone knows this. Confidence is such once you, like, when you don't have it, it seems like the hardest thing in the world to have. But once you have it, it makes life a lot easier. Like,
yeah.
Shirt wearing to the beach, Chris, did not get a lot of girls. Shirtless on the beach, Chris, got more.
Mary.
I don't think it's because I looked good shirtless. I think it's more just that I was less awkward about it.
Yeah. So vacations.
Vacations, I think we're 50-50 split on. I think you're more keen on them than I am.
Yeah.
And the next one I think is a pretty non-controversial one, which is vegan hotels.
Yeah. I mean,
and not a vegan food specifically, but also no wool, silk, leather, feathers.
Do you go to a lot of restaurants that have feathers?
No, but this is vegan hotels. So this is like nothing in there will be
no products to build. Yeah.
And I think that's cool.
And the restaurant itself is plant-based. But
yeah.
But there's also, I feel like, did we talk about this with Nick and Janice?
We talked a little bit about veganism.
With like the flights though.
Flights
doing like all vegan food.
Yeah, all vegan food, or they're doing like less, I mean, this is unrelated to veganism, but less plastic packaging. And like, there's a lot of progression being made in that area.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I don't want to be vegan. I'd have no desire to be, but I'd totally stay in a vegan hotel because I can see the benefit and like the good side of not, I don't need wool or silk or feathers or leather.
Yeah.
In my hotel room, I can live without that. Perhaps the hardest bit would be doing without meat at my meal.
Yeah, but I mean, have you been to a vegan restaurant before?
I have, and I've had some really good vegan food. I have no issue with eating vegan food. I just wouldn't want to eat it every single day because sometimes I just want a burger. And not an impossible
burger. Have you had an impossible burger?
I have had an impossible burger. It's solid. It's solid without being as good as a good like steak.
Apparently, I was listening to an episode of Armchair Expert, which is my favorite podcast other than ours. And they were talking about, is it KFC that's got their vegan chicken?
I think so,
burger?
Yeah.
And they said that they recommend, like, it's apparently they recommend having it with the vegan cheese because there's something about the cheese in it that makes it taste even better.
Oh.
Like the way it reacts with the whatever chemicals are in the vegan cheese, the way it reacts with the chemicals in the impossible chicken, whatever, is supposed to make it taste like exactly like the real thing. Something to test possibly. But yeah, so vegan hotels and restaurants, but also there's companies that have popped up. So Vegan Travel and Veg Voyages.
Yeah.
And they arrange vegan tours around, like they have ones in Malaysia, like they have ones in near the Nile.
Oh, cool.
Even other travel companies who are not just vegan based. So like Intrepid, I'm sure Top Deck.
Like a vegan tour.
Yeah. Like one of their trips they'll launch small trips that are all vegan based.
That's cool.
But yeah, so that's
this one's definitely one I can see coming true. Like it's
100%.
It's almost a really lazy prediction because like vegan restaurants are cropping up everywhere. As you've just said, there's already brands doing vegan tours. The hotel that opened last year in the UK is the first vegan hotel in the UK. I think it's going to be more and more of a thing.
Well, also, like, not even just for the cruelty of animals things. Like, I mean, I get it. I'm kind of someone that understands the, like, you know, animal cruelty behind people who choose to be vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Why is a cow different than a dog sort of thing? So, like, I've even toyed with the idea. But I fucking love meat so much. But
on that topic, though, I really wish, like, I don't know if you know that, like, they've been developing ways to lab grow meat.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing without having the animal aspect.
Yeah,
and some people find it gross. I would totally eat that.
I would totally eat that too. But then how much chemicals are going into it?
Well,
that's the part that concerns me. If it's something's lab grown, like, what are the chemicals going into it and how are they going to affect my body?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's what they're growing it with. Like,
yeah.
How they're doing it.
See, for me, the more pull towards veganism and things like that is more the environmental reasons.
Yeah,
the impact that the meat industry has on the environment is the one that's a lot more.
It's driving a lot of people in that direction. I feel like.
I mean, I was thinking about now that my trip is over. I mean, I had to have haggis in Scotland.
Yeah.
I was thinking about doing like basically vegan during the week and then be real more relaxed on the weekends.
I did that with vegetarianism for a while. I had 6 days a week where I ate vegetarian, and then on a usually a Friday night after I played sports, I would have like a burger or pizza. I'd like treat myself to that meat, and then the rest of the week it was tofu, and I mean I had some eggs and cheese. I don't think I want to go full vegan because I don't really think it's for me, but you know.
Yeah, I just for me it was more like the just my way. Someone, I think Lena and I were talking about it on our trip that apparently if everyone in the world did Meatless Monday, it would like how much of an impact it would have on the environment
And that's, I
is
think, a much more
ridiculous.
achievable goal than the idea that, like, the vegan society, you know, saying, like, if the whole world is meat-free by 2050, you know, it saves 8 million lives, it cuts greenhouse gases by two-thirds, which is amazing. I just think it's not as feasible. I mean, especially in places where access to vegan products is extremely limited. Like, it's all well and good in the US or Australia or the UK to say you should be vegan because we have access to great vegan food and all the things we would need to make that work, supplements. But if you tell someone in like provincial China or, you know, rural Vietnam, hey, you got to stop eating meat, eggs, meat, dairy, and eggs, they're going to say, so am I just dying then? Is that the plan? Like, it's not feasible in developing countries yet. So that goal seems unreasonable, but people going meatless for a day or two, or heck, doing meatless 5 days a week, I think is very achievable.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. So I think starting in February. However, if I end up fucking going to France, there's no way I could do meatless in France during the week, but I would not be able to do dairy free in France.
I have a friend, well, it's Rochelle's friend, her maid of honor, is vegetarian, but when she travels, she'll generally like allow herself a meal a day with meat in it because she understands that like certain cultures, meat is such a key part of their diet that she would be missing out on that culture if she didn't at least try. Like, so when we're in China, there's some great vegetarian food there, but all the famous dishes are Peking duck, you know, jiaozi, these things that need to be tried because the vegetarian alternative isn't going to be the real deal. Yeah,
I mean,
so
I don't
that's.
know. It's definitely a debatable. I mean, we could go on and on about this, and I'm someone that's very good at playing devil's advocate, so I can debate both sides.
And I'll just get death threats on Twitter from militant vegans.
So I'm super intrigued about this next one on the list,
Yeah, me
which
too.
was ancestry travel. And
Have you done
so,
an ancestry test?
no, I don't want people to have my DNA.
Oh, well.
All those crimes I commit
Yes,
will track me down.
they'll finally pin you for those crimes.
No, but I thought this was so interesting. So Airbnb is partnering with DNA Lab 23andMe, which is the one that took off, a few years ago, and everyone was getting it for Christmas.
I got my wife the Ancestry.com one for Christmas this year.
Yeah, so Airbnb is teaming up with 23andMe. And so basically, you do the test and then they plan trips around the areas of where you're from, like
That's
where your
so
ancestry's
cool.
from, which I think that's super cool. Mine just would be Europe
Yeah, I was about to say, mine would be really
and
boring for the
slight,
first leg. It would be like England.
yeah,
And then eventually Spain.
Ireland, Scotland, I think, Spain, Mexico. I mean, Spain and Mexico would be cool.
Yeah, and then eventually they'd all end up in Tanzania or Kenya, which is where humanity started. So I guess that's cool. You could go on safari to finish your ancestry trip.
Yeah, so I thought that was super cool. And it's saying that, like, with nationalist attitudes on the rise, that the counter trend will see people seeking out shared genetic links and cultural synergies,
I like that,
which
yeah.
are
Like,
big
instead of
words,
being
but.
like, I'm American, you're like, I am all of these things over generations, and I want to learn more about that shared heritage.
Well, did you ever, I think it's Danish, did you ever see that video that went viral a few years ago? Where
No, I'm going to
they
say no.
brought in, I'm going to share it in the description of this episode, or possibly even on our Instagram as well. But there was this video, I'll have to try to track it down, but it kind of came out around like the Trump thing because he's caused so much rise in hate crimes and
And
shit like
nationalism, and
nationalism.
yeah.
Yeah. And so basically they found, I think it was a Danish company, they found all of these people who are very big nationalists. So they found like Germans, there was a guy from Iceland, there was Brits, like all people from all over, I think it was just Europe. But they basically asked him a bunch of questions, like, so where are you, like, what are you, where are you from? And they're like, I'm 100% like born and raised, born and bred, like English, like England runs through my veins, like, you know, all of that stuff. And then there's this guy, that guy from Iceland that they found, he was like, yeah. Oh yeah, like, you know, that he's like Icelandic, and he's like, I'm from the best country in the world. And like ice, was it Iceland? I feel like I'm going to get this wrong.
I think it, but I think it doesn't, for the purposes matter, of the story, it's, yeah, it's fine.
but basically he was just like, yeah, we are the best people in the world. Like, we're better than any other country.
Doesn't sound like Iceland, but all right.
I know. That's why I started questioning myself. but then they make them all do this DNA test. Oh, and they had like Turkish, Pakistani, like people from kind of conflicting countries there as well. Mm-hmm. And then they had them all do a DNA test, and they all have them sitting in back in the room together, and they call them up individually to tell them what the results were. And like the British guy was actually part German as well, and like gets all emotional. And then the guy from Iceland, like he's actually from somewhere else. And then there was two people that they were like, oh, is such and such and such and such in the room? You guys are actually cousins. And they were from two different countries. And yeah, it was just really cool. And then of course they're all getting emotional and then realizing that, you know, they're actually not.
Nationalism's like, a stupid idea. Yeah.
Yeah, because we're actually from all over the place. And it's pretty impossible to be all just from one country.
Oh, that's cool.
Especially with travel and everything increasing and being like, able literally. To meet people and marry people and procreate with people from other countries and other continents. We're never just going to have one.
No, if you're genetically pure, it's because you're inbred. I'm sorry, if you're saying you're genetically pure, then there's some mud in those waters.
Yeah.
All right, so next up is surfing, next level surfing.
Oh, wait, just before we go to the next one. So is this something that you would do, the ancestry travel?
Okay, yeah, so do you want me to just start with that then?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd be all about ancestry travel. I think it's really cool. I'm kind of fascinated. Like, my mom is like the family tree person. Like, she's, you know, always piecing it together. So I know a little bit about her side of the family. It goes back through England and Scotland, and that's cool. But then at some point in there, there's some Spanish, and there is some, like, what people would now call Gypsy, which I think is really cool, because I'd like to sort of learn more about that part of my heritage.
Like Irish and then Gypsy, or?
No, like from actual, like, mainland Europe. Huh. Yeah, so, I mean, that would be cool to explore. And then, of course, at some point, who knows, I might find something really cool, like I have a Chinese ancestor or an Indian ancestor, and I think that'd be fascinating to sort of explore that part of my heritage. So I really should have got myself an ancestry.com one as well, but my wife has one, so I'd be curious to see what she gets back when the results come in. And I imagine you're pretty keen on it too.
Yes, but I don't want to do one of the DNA things. I don't know why it freaks me out so much.
Like, I mean, every coffee shop on earth has your DNA.
Well, no, but it's for more. So, like, I feel like I've told this story before, but my mom and my uncle did it and ended up finding out they have a half brother they never knew about. So my grandpa basically cheated on my grandma when she was pregnant with my mom.
Oh,
and got another woman pregnant in the same town. And because my mom and her half brother are 3 months apart.
Damn.
And I mean, it's worked out great. He's absolutely lovely. His wife's lovely. He's got two boys. So now I've got two cousins that I never knew about. And so like, it's been great embracing them and having them be a part of our family. But my dad fucking probably has kids all over the world.
Oh, right. Yeah. I could see that being a bit weird.
I don't have a relationship with my dad. And so I could just see all of these fucking people coming out of the woodwork being like, I'm your sibling. Hey. I want to have a relationship. And it would just be like too much.
And if I found that out about my dad, I'd be concerned because they've been married since they were like 20. But I mean, I'll forewarn them if I do the test. Hey, I'm going to do a DNA test. Anything you guys want to disclose?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that like, I think the situation might have been different if my grandpa was still alive.
Oh, but God, can you imagine? Yeah.
He's already has been passed for 15 years. So, it, like, there was no having to actually deal with that. I mean, it was kind of hard. But we did have to tell my grandma or my grandma.
Oh, God,
who
you did.
Wasn't, I mean, who divorced, like, my grandpa, I think, when my mom was, like, 12. So they got divorced years and years and years ago. But still,
but
you're still finding
hurt.
Out that, yeah, the husband that, you know, had at one point. Obviously
rough.
Had a child with somebody else at the same time when you were pregnant.
Well, I don't think Ancestry.com does that, so that's good to know. I assume that was 23andMe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Ancestry.com was very clear. They're just going to give you your ancestry, and then you could pay extra if you wanted to know about, like, genetic traits that your family line has.
Yeah, 23andMe does that.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't know if that's a weird violation of, like, I get it, but at the same time, I feel like, what if you don't want anyone to know that you're their half-brother? Like, that's kind of
a
weird thing to just do.
Well, and I'm sure there is privacy things where you can be like, you know, I think they will tell you if they are, like, if there is a match for a familial thing, but
you can then opt in.
I don't want to, like, I don't want anyone to be able to be in contact with me or be able to message me sort of thing.
That makes sense.
I think it is kind of good to know the if you have a predisposition for genetic disorders and things like that. Or
might be a handy thing to know if you're planning to have kids, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the travel part is cool. My mom, I think my mom's side of the family were definitely Western, like, European. But then my grandma's side, so my mom's side, it's Spanish and Mexican. But then dad's side of the family, I think it's mostly, like, Irish, Scottish, so.
Yeah, I think my family's very much British on my mom's side, and then I think British German on my dad's. So it's pretty generic, except for that, like, if you go back four generations where you start to get some more interesting, sort of diverse stuff happening.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on.
Number five
is
surfing. So, like, surf tourism, which I didn't realize wasn't already a thing, but I guess it's more, they were saying, like, surfing's finally an Olympic sport this year. So it's probably going to get, like, a big upswell in popularity. And obviously there's already, for the last few years, been a lot more, like, surf tourism. There's bloggers who blog specifically about being a female surfer.
Yeah, I thought this was, like, I was kind of surprised that this made the list. I feel like they were kind of stretching here.
Yeah, it feels like something that's been a thing for a while.
Yeah, surfing has always been a thing.
I mean,
I think that, like, to surf lodges, like, surf destinations, like, I get there's a lot more retreats, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
So, like, surf and yoga retreats are hugely on the rise, especially in, like, Costa Rica, like, Central America, and then over in, like, Bali and stuff like that.
My wife has done a week-long surf thing in the Philippines in Siargao, where she literally, like, every morning you'd get up and do, like, two surf lessons, then you had the afternoon free and it included accommodation and food. So it's definitely a thing that's out there. I think maybe what they're touching on is the growth in artificial waves. And they, like, point out that there's going to be a park opening in South Korea this year that'll be the largest surf park in the world. Now, if you've been to South Korea, it doesn't have great surf beaches because of where it's based in the world. So the fact that the demand is there for this massive surf park is pretty indicative of how much the sport is growing, I guess. Have you been surfing?
Yeah, so I went surfing in Hawaii when I was, like, 12, and I was actually very good at it.
Oh, look at you.
I was with a couple of my friends. We did a surf lesson, and we were, like, hopping on each other's boards, like, jumping back and forth, like, while riding them.
Oh, damn.
And, like, it was great. And then never surfed again, even though I fucking live in California. went to Australia and worked at a surf hostel and could not once get up.
Interesting.
For me, it was more, I think, the fear because of sharks or jellyfish or like, all of that stuff. So, like, I would go out and, like, attempt to surf and then be like, nah, fuck this. Get me out of the water. Like, I just, my mind would just be too anxious about being attacked by
I've only been surfing twice, once in Sydney and once in Dubai. It was fun both times. My biggest achievement was that I was able to get up and stay up for, like, a whole, whatever the fuck you want to call it, rides, wave set, fuck, I don't know.
Barrel.
I enjoyed it, but it wasn't something I, you know, was eager to go do again.
Yeah.
I'm more of a, when I go to the beach, I like do like half an hour of being an idiot, just like jumping over waves, and then half an hour of like floating out beyond the waves, and that's pretty much, and then I go and lie on the beach and drink beer.
Yeah. I do like body surfing. That's always fun.
My dad is, I have never been able to do it. I just sink. My dad only body surfs ever since, like, as long as I've known him, which is obviously my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
He's been body surfing, but I'll try and do it and I just like straighten
it.
There's
the people that get really into it with like boogie boards and stuff too.
Oh, boogie boarding. Hell yeah. Growing up, I loved boogie boarding.
I've seen some like extreme boogie boarder people. I want to do one of those like surf yoga retreats. I think that would be so cool.
I'd definitely try it. Like, I'd love to be able to say I'm able to surf, even if I'm not like great at it. At least being able to like consistently get up would be cool.
Yeah.
So the next one, I guess, because we've covered that one pretty quickly, it was a pretty basic one. Yeah. Is luxury bunking, which I found a little confusing because I'm like, why would you do that? But then I realized it's a lot of it is for families. So
yeah, which I think makes sense. And then, but also yeah, you can like fit more people in a small hotel room.
Exactly.
Make the room slightly smaller and you can have more rooms in a hotel.
Yeah. Like, so the picture in the article basically shows like a really nice looking, you know, queen or double bed where the parents would sleep, and there's a privacy curtain, and then basically like loft style steps to the bunk above. So they're not having to clamber up a slippery ladder to the kids' beds. And I mean, yeah, in places like Japan, like Tokyo, New York, where space is at a premium sometimes, it mm-hmm. makes sense that, you know, bunking doesn't have to be this thing that only backpackers and people on sleeper trains do. Why not make it a comfortable experience?
Yeah. And it doesn't always have to be families. Like, if you have two couples traveling together.
Yeah. It's kind of like in the same vein as those capsule hotels, but without being all alone. Because you can stay in some lavish capsule hotels. This is kind of a midpoint between that sort of minimalism, but
yeah.
not having to be alone. Because I don't know if you've stayed in a capsule hotel, they're usually unisex. So they're usually unisex. So like, even if Rochelle and I are in the same hotel, she'll be on like the 7th floor and I'll be on the 3rd. And, you know, there's no females on my floor, no males on her floor. So it's a little impersonal. Great for solo travel. So I like the idea of being able to do like a space conscious stay with friends or family that still feels comfortable and, you know, not like I'm slumming it.
Yeah. I mean, and it's kind of like, it's almost like that. It's like being in a fancy hostel, but you just know the people in your room.
Yeah, I kind of dig that.
And I like, there's a lot of like, even the trend in these like modern hotels that are super hip, like have massive games rooms and karaoke nights. And they mentioned the Moxie Hotel, which is apparently like a super social hotel. They always have events in like their bar and stuff like that to encourage people. Apparently it's a really good hotel if you're solo traveling, because there's a lot of like trying to encourage guests to like interact with each other. And then they have rooms like this apparently. So like the bunk
rooms. So it's like you get to have that hostel-ish experience without having to...
But it's like being, you know, all without private rooms and...
Yeah. That's neat. I like that.
And you can fit... Yeah, you can fit more people.
So I'm going to make a bit of an executive... Because we're a little pressed for time. So the next two actually kind of go well together, I feel like.
Yeah.
So number 7 being electric planes, which is a cool idea. And then number 8 being the idea of flight shame.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, basically pushing people to fly less.
Yeah.
So they go hand in hand in my mind. Because obviously, if we had electric planes... that were feasible and could do those long haul flights, then that would take a lot of the pressure off it, because then you're not contributing to the problem when you fly.
Well, it says that EasyJet has partnered with a company and they're aiming to have a fleet of electric planes by 2030.
Which is pretty sweet. Like, I think at the moment the issue is speed. Like, the comparison here is that that Rolls-Royce is working on one that can get up to 300 miles an hour, while a 787 does 560. Mm-hmm. So it's almost half the speed.
Yeah.
So obviously it would mean taking longer to get to your destinations and maybe having to have layovers more often.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I mean...
Which is worse for the environment.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, but if we can make it...
Well, not if they're electric planes, I guess.
Yeah, not if they're electric, yeah. I mean, if we can make it feasible, I don't see a reason why not. Why wouldn't we do it? But I mean, the idea of...
I definitely would happily fly electric planes.
Oh, in a heartbeat. I've been in a Tesla. Why wouldn't I go on an electric plane? But flight shame, I think, is definitely, if it isn't a big thing in 2020, I feel like it's already happening. I recently stayed with my friend in Reading, who's the local member for the Greens.
Yeah.
And he was talking at length about how not so much people who are taking like their one holiday a year, like they don't need to be flight shamed, but it's people who might fly 3 or 4 times a week for business.
Yeah.
Basically saying like, if you're flying that often for business, there really should be a mandatory carbon tax, because you are contributing a lot to the problem and profiting off it in the case of business travelers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you should shame people for flying, especially if it's their one holiday a year or if flying is the only feasible option. But I definitely think more people need to think about the impact that flying has. And like for us being in Europe this year, my first inclination as an Australian is to like, oh, okay, so we're going to fly to Italy and then we'll fly to France. And
well,
like,
when you have so many options for really cheap airlines like Ryanair and EasyJet and stuff like that, and they have constant deals for like, you know, 30 euros each way.
It's like, very tempting.
It's very easy to, like, I can't wait to get my visa and I can go everywhere around Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do like the fact, though, that it's saying that because people are trying to fly less, there's a rise in train travel, which is what we did going to Scotland. So we took the train. And honestly, I love train travel.
Train travel is the best. If it's a comfortable train, like, it's my favorite way to travel.
Yeah.
The issue, I think, with train travel, at least for most travelers now, is either it's not super available. Like in Australia, the rail network outside of major cities is awful, or it's very expensive. And I'm looking at, I mean, the UK, like not that I could have flown from London to Peterborough where the wedding was, but £30 for a 35 minute train ride just seemed exorbitant. And then if you go to Japan, it's the high speed rail is world class, but it is not cheap. You're looking at like $700 for a month long pass.
I mean, trains are expensive here in the UK, but it's also depends on when you book them. So if you just book it at the day or the time, they're way more expensive. But if you book it a week ahead of time, 2 weeks ahead of time, they're much cheaper.
Yeah.
You just have to plan ahead. But like it's also like knowing where to look as well, because when we went to Scotland, I found this, it's almost like a sky scanner, but for trains.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It compares a bunch of different companies and gives you the different price options. And like every train going up to Edinburgh was like 70 something each way. But there was one on the day that we were going up there, the day we were coming back, that was £35.
Oh, nice. Way.
So we took that one. I mean, it wasn't the most convenient time. It was maybe like a half hour longer than the other ones. It was still good. But I love train travel. So I'm all for... Eurostar is that the one that goes from Paris to London?
Yes, let's say yes. I don't know.
It always has loads of like deals like coming sales out all the time right now. Like you can go to Lille, Brussels, or Paris from London for £29.
That's really good. That's cheaper than it was
but
to get
normally
to
Peterborough. It's much more expensive.
Well, I think if more people start choosing rail over trains, then the price will obviously come down.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, a lot of rail, like in the US, for example, Amtrak isn't the greatest in terms of the coverage it offers, but it's often more expensive than flying. So unless you're like a hardcore train enthusiast, there's no incentive to do it. But if it became reasonable, and like in Australia, for example, for me to get from my hometown to Sydney, it's $70 for an 8 hour train ride, or it's like $300 for a 45 minute flight.
Yeah.
So I'll usually take the train unless I have to be there like quickly. But I think if other countries sort of follow, and in China, a great example, their train network is high speed, it's everywhere, and it's super affordable. So that's kind of a country where it's totally feasible to travel by train. And in fact, I'd prefer it because Chinese airports are often an hour and a half out of the city you're landing in. And then you've got to deal with security and all of the, you know, the attached air travel stuff.
It doesn't
so
end
often
up actually
even...
being
no, quicker. Like it might be a 4 hour train ride or a 2 hour flight, but once you factor in getting there an hour early and having to get to your hotel at the end, it ends up actually being the same.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I love rail travel. I'd love to do more like scenic rail trips. But if you're not on a tight schedule, you know, like if your trip has like a sort of a, maybe not an open-ended finish, but has several weeks in it, just budget a few extra days in there for those train trips, because they're not only better for the environment, but they're often a really good way to see a country.
Absolutely.
Like as it rolls by. A plane doesn't give you that.
It was beautiful going up to Scotland through all of England and everything like that. It was so beautiful. So I know we're pressed for time. We're already, you know, an hour in at this point. we're about halfway through the article. We could always just make this a two-parter.
Oh, we could. Yeah, I think there's like six to go on this article, and then there's a bunch from 2019 that I think actually are quite interesting themselves.
Well, we can go over if they actually happened.
Yeah. So, do we wanna wrap it up for the week? And I'll go move into my new apartment, and you can, I assume, it's early in the morning there. Go back to sleep.
No, it's 10 a.m.
Oh, okay. So you're up for the day.
Well, I just got back, so I did all my laundry, but I need to, like, you know, do life admin things today.
That old chestnut.
And then a couple of my friends and I are actually meeting up to finally do our gift exchange for Christmas.
Oh, nice. It's less than a month, so you're good. You're in the window. Yeah.
that's the part one of
part one. Travel I've trends really for 2020. Discussing all of these. I'd love to see what people think about certain things, like would you stay in a vegan hotel? Are you interested in taking a naycation? space tourism. Do you think it's feasible in our lifetime? I'd love to hear what people think on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you want to post it. DM us.
Let us know. Yeah. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with the rest of this article talking about the rest of the 2020 travel trends. Wow, say that five times fast.
2020 travel trends, 2020 travel trends, 2020 travel trends, 2020 travel trends. I can't. I lost it. I thought I had it and then I lost it. Shit.
All right, cool. Well, let's wrap it up for this week and we will see you guys next week. And, that kind of ruined it.
It's see you next Tuesday, Kate, because it spells out the word cunt.
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday, cumbaggers.
Oh, God.